Kathy, would you like to get us started today?
Okay, thank you.
Father, we just praise you, yes.
Oh, thank you.
Father, we just love you with all of our hearts. Give us the ears to hear everything that you have for us today, Father. Help us to walk out of here a little closer to seeing you as you really are than we walked in. Father, teach us your ways, show us your plan. Let us live in your shadow. Do your will, not our own. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Sorry, I didn't mean to be talking. She handed me these. I just asked her if she was giving them to me.
Okay. This is going to be interesting how God puts this together, because I got a lot of thoughts and we'll see which ones come out. But we're going to talk today about the garden. Okay, back in John 3:10, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and he said, "I speak eternal truth, or eternal truths about things I know, things I have seen and experienced." Okay, think about that for a second. Eternal truths that Jesus had seen and experienced. That's where we are today, okay? We know the eternal truth is Jesus. But we are experiencing things, we're seeing things that maybe we didn't see 30 years ago or 20 years ago or last year or yesterday. And Jesus says, "And still you don't accept what I reveal. If you are unable to believe what I have told you about the natural realm, what will you do when I begin to unveil the heavenly realm?" That's serious stuff, folks. I mean, we're talking about the real realm. The heavenly realm is the real realm. It's not the, you know, sweet by and by when I die and whatever realm. It's existing now, and it's here, and it's the kingdom of God, and it's within us. No one has risen into the heavenly realm except the Son of Man who exists in heaven. Mm-hmm. Okay, so no one? Can we experience that heavenly realm now? Do you think Jesus basically said, "Only me, I'm the only one, you know, no one else"? No, that's not what he was saying. First of all, let's get what a realm is. A realm is a kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. The realm of spirit is wherever God is working to express himself. Okay? The realm of spirit is wherever God is working to express himself. So let's break this down. Jesus went on to say, you know, in the what we call the center, not the sinner's prayer, but the heavenly prayer or whatever. It says the disciples' prayer, whatever we want to call it. But our Father in heaven, let your name remain holy. Bring about your kingdom. Manifest your will here on earth as it is manifest in heaven. There you go. I mean, that's it. Right there. There is a realm, a dimension, an existence, a place that overlaps heaven and earth. Okay? This circle, just to, for a point of reference here, it helped me. Hopefully it helps you. This circle right here, and for those that are listening, there's two circles I have on the board here. The higher circle is heaven. The lower circle is earth. But there's an overlapping. There's an overlapping. This is where Jesus was when he was talking to Nicodemus. Now, could he rise above to the highest of highest? Of course he could. But he had to live in a place where he had his feet on the ground, but he was hearing the Father. Everything the Father said, he heard from heaven. Everything the Father told him to do, he heard from heaven. So he had, there was an overlapping right here that had heaven and earth together. Does that make sense? Okay, this is the garden. I'll call it the garden. I'd also call it the sweet spot. This is where we want to live. Now, that doesn't mean that if God takes you up into the higher heavens, praise the Lord, that's good. But He will take you. You know, it's not something that you're going to, every single day of your life, you're going, oh, Lord, I want to go to the highest heavens where Paul went and where Enoch is and whatever. This is where we live our everyday life, where we, what Jesus says, if you see me as I am, you will be like me. Well, this is where he was with Nicodemus. He could access heaven, but he was still on earth. Okay? Jesus could communicate with those on earth as he did. It's interesting, most of the ones he communicated with were the sinners. He could communicate with those on earth, the same time communicate with the Father in heaven. The garden is a glorious place to exist. It's the perfect place. You can choose to come out of the garden, and we're going to talk about that here in a second. You can choose to come out of the garden and live in the earthly. You can choose that. And let's face it, the majority of people breathing out there today, that's where they live, in the earthly, in the lower realm. Okay? Some of them don't even know about a realm that's higher, you know? But they choose to live. There's Christians that choose to live in the earthly realm. That heavenly stuff is too crazy for me. It's too out there. It's too scary, or whatever you want to call it. You know, they're comfortable just sitting there, living their life, saved and going to heaven. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think there's something wrong with it, but I mean, if that's the way they choose, there's nothing. I mean, you know, that's still what they choose. Yeah.
They feel like it's too unbelievable.
They look at it and
think that's too unbelievable. So they can't fathom.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's too much for them to handle at this point in their life. And as we all progress, you know, hopefully we have a high percentage of people that want to be like Jesus, you know, that want to experience heavenly realms. Let's see. When you are in the overlap, God can take you to higher heavens, like I said, where you are taken away in the spirit, but you cannot live there 24/7. I mean, can you imagine? You can't live there all the time. I mean, you still have a job, maybe, or you still have, you know, stuff, duties, whatever, but you can still live in the sweet spot. It's a beautiful place to be in the garden. The garden is a wonderful, wonderful place. But it can be too lofty if you're sitting there and you're talking to Enoch 1 minute and you're talking to Jesus and you're talking to the, you know, and you're out of body, basically. And God can do that. I haven't experienced it, but God can do that. But my goal is to be in the sweet spot, in that place where you experience heaven, but you still are here on this earth. You haven't died yet, and you haven't walked through that veil. Anyway, so God just revealed some things in this Genesis 3:24 this week that I want to kind of break down and tear apart and see if, you know, and then see what your thoughts are. He says, he drove out the man. You notice he didn't say he drove out Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. Man is Adam in this, but he drove out the man. And we're going to break that down. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, which are imaginary figures, we'll get to that, and a flaming sword, we'll get to that, which turned every way, we'll get to that. It's a very interesting scripture. To keep the way of the tree of life. Now those two little lines there are chock full of stuff. I mean, oh my gosh, so let's break this thing down. As I said, the word man in this case is Adam, okay, which is, we'll get to the definition, true definition. So man Adam was driven out. Adam, flesh, whatever you would call it, cannot live and experience the garden. I mean, you can experience the earthly part of the garden, but you can't experience the heavenly part. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. This is the earthly life where most people live. That is the earthly life, if they choose that. And you all know people like this. You know, there's a lot of stress, frustration, unforgiveness, uncontentment. All these things are in the earthly realm. But when you live in the overlap of heaven and earth, the earthly is consumed by the heavenly. And that's what we want. We want that. And we're going to talk about wasn't an accident that God had a flaming sword. Because we know what the fire of God is and how it consumes all the hay, wood, and stubble. Okay, so let's break it down to actual words. Adam is... It's funny, I always laugh when I see the Hebrew of Adam, because it's like whenever we find ourselves in that state, we go, oh, damn, I'm back there again, I got to get out of here, you know. It's a man of low degree, so that is that earthly realm, that lowest realm of existence. Adam in his original creation was in spiritual illumination. Remember, he walked with God in the cool of the evening. He was right there with God all the time. Spirit breathed into him continually the necessary inspiration and knowledge to give him superior understanding. Think about that. This is before the fall, of course. But he began eating or appropriating ideas of two powers, God and not God, or good and evil. The result, so the allegory relates, and I think it's an allegory, but a lot of people don't, and that's fine, was that he fell away from spiritual life and all that it involves. Okay? Adam man, transformation of, we are not to erase Adam, but we are to transform him by the renewing of our minds. We talk about that all the time, right? We want our minds renewed. We wanted God to transform us into his image, which is what we were originally brought into existence. It says, let us create man in our own image. And not be fashioned according to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. It doesn't say just to have knowledge, have a transformed mind so that you have all this wonderful knowledge. It says the renewing of your mind allows us to know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Okay, that word east in scriptural symbology, east represents the within.
The within.
Within. The significance, therefore, is that from the regions of interior wisdom come thoughts of reverence and rich gifts of substance and understanding and every spiritual help for the holy life. We can't do this by ourselves. It can't be done by yourself. You have to have the Lord. So you know, talked about East of Eden, right? So East of Eden is that time where God is transforming us and bringing us back into the garden. The word Eden means pleasure. It's a pleasant, harmonious, productive state of consciousness. So if you want peace and you want whatever, then it's time to get back into the Garden of Eden. That's where there's peace, joy. It's the kingdom of God right there. It's a realm, it's a kingdom in which are all possibilities of growth. Don't we want to keep growing? I mean, does anybody want to stay right where they are? I mean, if you do, that's okay for you, but I want to grow. I want every day to be some way of growth that I can see God working in me, because it only comes through Him. When man is expressing harmony in harmony with divine mind, bringing forth the qualities of being in divine order, he dwells in Eden. Okay? Or in state of bliss and harmonious body. In other words, when you're in Eden, it's all, I don't think Adam and Eve got sick, and I'm not saying you can sit there and will yourself not to get sick, but I think that's a perfect place for mankind to be. And I think Adam and Eve was in perfect health until the fall. The garden symbolizes the spiritual body in which man dwells, and God dwells, and when he brings forth his thoughts after the original ideas of divine. The garden is the substance of God, or state of perfect relation of ideas to being. The Garden of Eden is the awareness or perception of something by the word consciousness. We keep talking about consciousness. All it is the awareness or perception of something by a person. It's just what you're aware of and what you perceive and how you perceive things. Rise to the spiritual realms in the mind, a mind purified by the light of truth. That is divine consciousness. Having developed a consciousness apart from the divine nature, man must till the ground. Remember when God told Adam he's going to till the ground? Till the ground from whence he was taken. That is, he must come into a realization of God as the source of his being and must express ideas in harmony with the divine mind. With the divine mind, wisdom and love are joined in God, and a perfect balance is struck in consciousness, knowing and feeling when man spiritualizes his thoughts. Okay, it's a lot of stuff there. Any comments on any of that? It's just being in that place, you know. Yeah.
If any of you have been around my garage in the last 8 weeks, we have started gardening. We planted a big garden this year, lots of flowers. And I will tell you, if you ask me or Mike, we will tell you, it's been the funnest thing we've ever done. It has been so rewarding. You can't put that little thing in the ground without faith.
Right.
And every morning I go out and I walk in my garden. I just walk around in the garden and I see, oh, look at this. Oh, look, clematis has a new flower. Oh, you know, you're just so taken by it. Some mornings I know it's time to go out and deadhead. And I know that it's not pleasant for the plant when I go out there and snip off the dead flowers, but it's good for their growth, so mm-hmm. that new flowers will grow. I've learned so much about how God works, believe it or not, by growing a garden.
Sure.
We've planted food, tomatoes and peppers. We have some of the most beautiful plants, you know, and the anticipation of seeing what they are going to become, you know, has been just fun. And so it really helps me to understand what you're talking about, because I truly, literally, you know, like Oscar says all the time, first in the natural and then in the spiritual. God has shown me the delight, the joy that you can have by planting a garden, you know. And I do sit out, and I sit out there and I drink my coffee and I sit in my garden And because now the hummingbirds come and, you know, it's, is there anything more enjoyable for man than to be that content with where he is and what's going on around him, you know?
You're creating.
That's what Mike said, you're creating.
That's what you're doing.
You're understanding
the way,
yes, how Father feels about us, even though we're not just a flower, you know, but the love and the compassion that he has.
Yeah.
That's all. Amen.
That's good. It's very, very synonymous with the Lord and what he's doing with us. Yes. You know, I mean, he's nurturing us, he's watering us, he's doing all these care, you know, taking care of us and whatever, so that we will blossom and become a full grown whatever the seed tells us that we're going to be, you know, and our seed is Christ in us, and it grows. And it's very good, Kathy, very good. Yes, sir.
Well, you know, in talking about those cherubim, you know, before, you know, I did the studying into that years ago, and the Lord showed me that they were imaginary figures. And, you know, when you realize that what you're even saying, that the garden is basically what you're showing here, and what you're saying is the garden is really consciousness of God. God consciousness is what you're really saying. And I'm just getting on the simplest term I can.
Yeah, that's it can get heavy, but
yeah, that's basically the simplicity of it. And you know, when you realize that he put those cherubim there, and if it's imaginary figure, what keeps man out of the presence of God? He imagines that he can't come into the presence of God. He can't approach God. He can't do the things that you know, the laws. He looks at the laws and he says, "Well, I can't do them, so I can't approach God." You know. And when you come to the realization that you know, those cherubim were put there because of the imagination. Now, Scripture tells us the imagination of man is evil, you know. And when it's talking about man, I believe it's talking about the Adam nature, you know. But there's a difference between the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ sees those things that are not as though they were, and begins to proclaim those things that are not as though they were, which sounds like imagination, but it's not really imagination. It's the reality of God. And when you can speak the reality of God into a situation, you know, then the power follows behind that. You know, I happened to be looking at YouTube yesterday a little bit. And I bounce around on YouTube sometimes to look at some of the things. And I was looking at the Azusa Street stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really something when you go back and you realize what God did there. Mm-hmm. You know, it was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the only thing that people did at that time that had anything to do with it happening was they went to prayer a lot. And you know, you don't make things happen in God, but you yield to what God's doing, and that's really what happened there. And there was people had limbs grow, they had all kind of tremendous things. I mean, you know, God did miraculous things. And a lot of times they'd come together and the Holy Spirit would just start moving, you know. And the funny thing is the minister there, I think they said that he used to put like a bag over his head sometimes and just not, you know, not say anything until the Lord started dealing with him, and then he'd do whatever God told him to do or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. But you know, when we realize that when Jesus said, "I, the Son of Man, which am in heaven," you know, and I like that he said that word "in," because that word "in" has a thing that means like a consciousness, really. It means like I'd have to look up the actual definition, but it actually means like a state, a permanent, like a special state of being, like, is really what it really amounts out to. And that's where we have to come to as we begin to function in the mind of Christ. We have to come to that place to where, you know, we stay in the garden, so to speak, and don't come in and out, you know.
Yes.
But, you know, I like what you said there, because that's what Jesus was. He said, you know, Brother Ed used to quote that scripture all the time. I mean, you probably heard him many, many times, that Jesus said, I, the Son of Man, or Son of Man, which am in heaven, you know, and he was standing right there with him.
Yes.
But that thing of the natural and the thing of the spirit, when you realize in the natural, everything we see in the natural came out of somebody's imagination. You know, this table came out of somebody's, somebody imagined this table before they ever made it. They sat down, drew a blueprint, imagined it, then they took it to a manufacturer and boom, here's the table, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is when we get into the realm of the spirit, it's so much beyond that. You know, it's a proclaiming, it's a speaking the word as God directs you from the inside out. And when his word never returns void, you know. And I believe we're going to come into an hour pretty soon, and I don't want to talk a long time, but we're going to come into an hour pretty soon to where we begin to proclaim from Mount Zion, so to speak, from the mountain of the Lord. And when we start proclaiming things, it won't be that we're imagining them. It will be that we're pulling them out of the spirit realm into the natural realm,
yeah.
You know. And that's going to happen eventually as we really start functioning in the mind of Christ, you know.
You couldn't have given me a better segue into what I was going to say here. With our imagination, just like what Oscar said, the imaging power of the mind, or I'm sorry, with our imagination, we lay hold of ideas. It first comes with an idea, and then clothe them with substance, which is exactly what you're talking about at the table. Okay, so that can work to our favor, and it can work to our demise.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? An imagination, oh, I'm gonna rob a bank or whatever. Okay, and then you actually do it. You know, so the imagination is good and bad, I guess, if you had to say one, same both. In other words, it can help you get closer to God, or it can draw you further
away. According to the source.
According to the source. And the source, of course, is the Lord. Thank you. Okay, in the communication of God with man, the imaging power of the mind plays an important part. Okay? That's the renewing of our mind. That's being transformed into his image. It receives divine ideas. We're getting divine ideas today, right? You get them every day, hopefully. And reflects their character to the consciousness. What was the definition of consciousness? Let's go back and see. The awareness or perception, the awareness or perception of something by a person. Okay, that's one, and then the other one is us rising to the spiritual realms in our mind, and then it's a mind that's purified by the light of truth. Who's the truth? Jesus. It's getting the mind of Christ. That's exactly what we're talking about here. So, I know this is a lot of stuff and it's kind of heavy today, but it's really good. I think if you grab a hold of it, bless you. Okay, so it receives words from the Lord. You know, when you're in your quiet time, or if you're going down a busy street, you can receive divine ideas. Sometimes you receive divine ideas in the weirdest place. And reflects their character, reflects their what it is to our consciousness. According to Scripture, this is the opening of the heavens and the seeing the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. There you go. I think this is available to us today. I believe that as we continue to be open to God bringing us into heavenly realms, I believe we're going to be, like just like Oscar said, we're in an hour that it's going to get fun. Okay, so let's kind of go back, and we're going to finish early good. you know, it says, let's go back to the scripture just to make sure that we're on the same page. Okay, so so he drove out the man, thank God, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Okay, so we got that. Let's go back to the word knife. It's very interesting. When you look it up in the Strong's, it's a cutting instrument. We all know that. But it's destructive. We want to take that flesh and we want to destroy it, right? You know, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a, what?
Two-edged sword.
Mm-hmm. Cutting away, or what Oscar says, which is better, it says, distinguishing between soul and spirit. Being able to see the difference between your soul, your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions, and the spirit, which is God. Okay? So, the knife is there to cut away all that, to cut it all out. A flaming sword which consumes the atom in our life. What was the atom? A lower man of lower degree, ruddy, red, whatever you want to call it. It's not where we want to be. God has brought us up into a higher realm than the Adamic realm. Okay? So, this was interesting, because I was asking the Lord, which turned every way, what is that all about? Well, I can just tell you what he gave me. I didn't even look this up anywhere to see anything. This is just what I felt he was telling me, is he's not going to leave any leaf unturned. He's going to go all through every way of our lives. He's going to be all over us with that flaming sword. To cut away the flesh and to burn up the fiery sword, right? So if it's fiery, it's the all-consuming God doing the work, right? And if it's a sword, well, we just saw the definition of that. It's to, I mean, if you're sitting there and you got, I don't know, a piece of meat or whatever, you know, you keep some fat on it, but you cut away the stuff that you don't eat, right? If you get a boneless, what do you get?
Skinless,
boneless chicken breast. They cut away everything that you can't eat, right? You can eat the whole thing, right? Uh-huh. Well, that's what God is doing in the East of Eden for us. He's cutting away all that. And then, let's see what I wrote down here. I forget right now. So he's not going to leave anything but him. Mm-hmm. When it's all said and done, it's Christ in you, mm-hmm. the hope of glory. And guess what? There will be that time when there's nothing but Christ in you. You left the building just like Elvis, you know? Mm-hmm. You have left the building, and it's all him. None of me, it's all him. So that flaming sword's going to keep doing its work in us. And sometimes I go, Lord, there's still stuff you need to cut away. There's still stuff you need to burn up. So I'm going to be a willing participant. Burn it up. Cut it away. I don't want it anymore, you know? So, and then to really bring this thing to where it ends up is, it says, to keep the way. So many people, you know, say that those flaming swords were placed there to keep them out of the garden. That's not what it says. That is, it says to keep the way. Who's the way? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So guess what? Those swords were... get us ready so we can go back into the garden and walk with God in the cool of the evening.
Solar lights you stick showing the way.
Yeah, yeah. So God will keep us in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's going to cut away. Yes, mm-hmm. he's going to burn. But it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Every bit of it is good. God is good.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's doing the work,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you have a heart condition and you need a heart surgery, you go in there and get cut to get better.
Can't do it to yourself.
No, and that's certain. Yeah, boy, that's great. Yeah, you cannot do it. You cannot perform heart surgery on yourself. Just like you cannot become perfect mm-hmm. on your own.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how hard you try, it's not going to happen. So, yeah, so, you know, when it comes down to keeping that way, God will keep us in the way. Well, yeah, we stray off from time to time. He knows that. He knew it before you were even born when you were going to stray off. And he's just encourages us to come on back. You know, he doesn't beat us. I mean, sometimes people, I think, misinterpret that word. He only chastises those who he loves. Like he's, when I think of chastisement, you know, I'm thinking of something more than just, come on, son, come on back, you know. I'm like, you know, I've got a place prepared for you. It's going to be where you and I are one, you know. And so that to me is chastisement. It's learning. It's growing. It's becoming more like him. And the only way that can happen is by him, his doing. The tree of life. I'm almost finished here, and then we can talk, and then we can get out of here. Tree of Life, Genesis 2:9 talks about the eternal, omnipresent life of God that is within man. So you have a tree of life in here. You can eat from it anytime you want. You know, don't eat from the other one, but eat from that one. The tree of life is in the midst of the garden. If we're the garden, where's the tree of life? The Holy of Holies, right? It's in the holiest of all places where God lives. He dwells right inside of us. We don't have to pray off onto some cloud up in the sky or some planet past Pluto, you know. He's right as close to you as your next breath. It is the innate indwelling idea of immortal life. We are immortal. We're not mortal. People say, well, your life is mortal. No, it isn't. I'm sorry. I will never die. I've already died. Mm-hmm. Since we were crucified with Christ, right? I already died. I'm on the other side of death, folks. And like your precious loved one, he just went from here to there. You know, he just went through a veil this week on Thursday, you know? But I have beliefs, you'll really think I'm crazy here, that you know, God's going to start moving in a way that some of us will be on this earth at 120,
mm-hmm.
130. I'm going to believe that. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe that God, he says, that spirit that dwells in you will quicken your mortal body. Well, what does that mean? Quicken means make it alive. Your mortal body. It doesn't say your immortal body. I know my immortal body will live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But it says that the spirit of God will quicken your mortal body. We got to get it up here that we believe that. You know, we sometimes give out, and I'm guilty as all of anybody, and you say these things because you believe them up here, but they got to come from here down into here so that they will manifest. And when it this is really crazy, because this morning I haven't thrown up in years. I know this is a gross thing, but it's really got a good story. I haven't thrown up, and I can't remember it. Have you, in 12 years, have you known me to throw up? What,
maybe
once,
one
maybe?
Time, I think.
So I don't get sick, mm-hmm. you know? And this morning, after breakfast, I mean, you know the feeling, and this is gross, I'm sorry, but it
water
don't drive home. Yes! I had to spit, and I mean, I thought, oh boy, you know when it's coming, right?
Yeah.
You know when it's coming. And it was coming, and I actually walked from the, I had my computer working on this, and walked from the living room to the bathroom. I know why God allowed this to happen, because of trying to get this point across. I was over the toilet, hadn't kneeled down yet, but I was standing there ready. Mm-hmm. That's how close, you know it.
Yeah.
And so I just put my hands on my stomach, and I just said, Lord, I said, you live in here, you wish that I'd be in health and prosper. I just, I'm just claiming that you're going to just take all this away and I'll feel good. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it wasn't even a minute. I just, in faith, walked out of the bathroom. In a minute, I was fine. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've been drinking coffee, but I had no desire to feel like I'm sick and whatever. So again, wouldn't it be great if you could do that all the time? Of course it would be. And we'd all be healthy all the time. But I think we're coming into that. I think he was just giving me a little type and shadow of what we're coming into. But we got to bring it from here to here. It's a fine scripture to say, he shall quicken your mortal body. But until it gets in here, it's not going anywhere. It's not going to happen. And I'm not saying that if you get sick, that, the last thing I'm saying is if you get sick, you have lack of faith. That is not what I'm saying. Not even close to what I'm saying. Yeah, some sects of the Christian community believe that. And it's nonsense, let me tell you. But it's just, it's that process that we go through to get all this stuff that's in that book and all this stuff that Lord's taught us through his Holy Spirit and internalizing it, bringing it all the way down in there.
This morning on the way down there, God kept giving me this song, the one we've sang before, I Believe God, I Believe God.
Go ahead. Do you
so
have the
shall
lyrics?
It be. Huh? And so shall it be.
Yes.
Even as he has said, trust and obey in his name and say, I believe God. Mm-hmm. And that's what he was giving me this morning. And we were talking about life. I was thinking about the lady that on Thursday, the first, 5 years. And we celebrated. She and I had an anniversary celebration. I cooked steaks and everything. We went together on the food and everything. And we had a celebration. And I was looking at her. She was thanking God. She gave me a card and I gave her a card. But I've seen the process of from the first day I went there and met her through the years to now. Mm-hmm. And I know it has been God's presence in us. Because when we pray together every day. And I just have seen, and she turned 98 years old on the 27th. Ooh. And there's some little diminishing. But her mind, she's an avid reader, and she reads the Word every day. Mm-hmm. And we pray together, and God has just touched her body because she looks different. She's only maybe 90 pounds, probably 120. So that she said, you're fattening me up. Mm-hmm. So I look at it spiritually and physically. Mm-hmm. That we, every time we're together and we start praying, God just presence comes. Sue and I used to be like that. Just come together, gonna eat a little meal, just visit together. Mm-hmm. It never failed.
God shows up.
It never failed. That's when he gave that word that he gave, for you.
Mm-hmm.
It never failed that
world.
He did not bring. His presence was just, and we're just sitting there just enjoying one, not even really talking about, but then you eventually start sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And he never fails to reveal himself.
Yes.
Yeah, and just speak forth truth. Him. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
And I believe we need to speak this forth. You know, when I'm singing that little song, I believe God.
Yeah.
Yes. So shall it be, even as he has said. And we must trust and obey, because as he gives us things, he's doing this pruning. He's doing this, doing this in us, and so beautiful.
Well, you know, hopefully you got something out of this. When you see it, sometimes it's better than just talking about it.
Yeah.
And when you see that garden and you see mm-hmm. that sweet spot there, mm-hmm. you know, when you refer to it to the Lord from here on, He's going to know exactly what you're talking about
yes.
when you say that. Because at that point, you know, that's the perfect place to live. All those things that the Bible talks about, peace, love, joy, that's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy, that's the kingdom of God. Now, where is it? It's in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the sweet spot. That's where you want to reside. That's when you feel yourself going down into a lower realm, into the earth realm, you gotta get a hold of the horns of the altar and say, pull me up, Lord, pull me up. Because you want to get into the higher realms, because that's where He is. You know, He's everywhere. Sure, if you make your bed in hell, He's there, you know. But He wants to commune with you in those higher realms, not into the earthly realms. He'll commune with you wherever you need to be communed with.
The whole part of that, though, Rich, is there are so many people out there who do not feel that they are worthy to even be there.
Right. So maybe it's our job to tell them they're worthy because God is worthy, not because of anything you've done,
and
it's because of everything He's done.
And they think they can't climb, and they'll go to the lower realms because that's where they're comfortable.
Yeah, that's where they feel safe.
That's right.
Because when you get up, it's different. And some people don't like to go into something that's different. It's, like I said, either scary or they don't think they're worthy or whatever. But man, that's where the abundant life is that Jesus talked about. It's not in the earthly realm. You know, it's right there in that. We still have to pay bills. We still have to do the things we do. But let's do it with a smile on our face. Let's do everything with joy and peace, and that's the best testimony you can ever have, and that's the best witness you can ever have for a believer or a non-believer, because the believers need to hear these things too. You know, they need to hear, you may be someone out there, may be a believer, but they don't feel the peace, they don't feel the joy, they don't feel the excitement of being a Christian, so to speak, which I think sometimes that word is messed up too, because we just love the Lord. Let's just be real simple about it. We love Jesus. Jesus came so that we might live. It's that simple. It doesn't get any more difficult or confusing than that. So He came to us so that we could once and for all experience death, experience the resurrection, and now we're ascending. We're ascending into heavenly places, and that's where the fun begins. I mean, not that you haven't had fun so far, but it's going to get a lot more funner in the heavenly places.
You know, Rich, what Mike said really hit me, because God has given us the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
That's why we're here. That's all it's all about.
It is.
Pull them on up. Tell them who they are.
I mean, can you imagine, the church is so focused on saying a certain prayer, and, you know, if you say a certain prayer, then you're saved. Like, where's that in the Bible?
Yeah.
It's not in the Bible. You know, it's like, oh, I'm saved. There's like a release and finally, you know, I know that I'm secure in heaven now when I die, whatever. Man, that's just that much of what your potential is in the Lord. I mean, that's just scratching the surface. There's so much more, but do they know it?
Well, that's why I like what we talk about on the program, because we talk about the simplicity of it all the
time.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Mike.
We absolutely do.
He made it simple.
And it's growth. You know, when you were talking about growth, when you're growing and you're going through stuff, you know, it's the fear of the unknown.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is.
You know, and I'm afraid, I might get something that's really good for me.
Yeah. So, you know, we just need to keep progressing, keep going, keep talking to the Lord, keep reading the Word, keep praying, keep focused on Him. I mean, hopefully you've seen in your life, and I know, Parker, you're still a young man, but you've been brought up in this all your life. So, but hopefully, you know, you see more peace, or you see, yeah, we have moments where we lose our peace. We have moments where we lose our joy. But I'm saying, generally speaking, you're walking through the day conscious of God all day. Doesn't mean every single second. If someone pulls in front of you and you have an accident, yeah, you're going to be thinking about the accident, right? But then you're going to be thinking about the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm safe. Thank you, Lord, they look like they're safe. Praise God, and no one got hurt. You know, metal can be fixed. But to sit there and go through a whole day without the Lord, I can't even imagine it anymore. I can't imagine, because I try to keep Him ever before me all day long, and even at night I say, Lord, I want to dream about You. I don't want these stupid dreams I get once in a while about, you know, I dream a lot about being in a car, going somewhere. It's like, you know, they
in
say...
In Georgia.
What? In Georgia, yeah. They, what's her name, Oscar, that she and Wade, Connie Urban. Mm-hmm. Connie Urban does a thing on dreams. Mm-hmm. And I looked up, car means ministry. Didn't know that. So I'm always in a car.
A couple years ago, Kath gave me this little chain. Uh-huh. It's got an arrow on it. I put this on every day. And I say, and people ask me, why do you wear that? And I say, it keeps me moving forward.
Yep. You're on the tip of the spear.
Yeah. Keep going forward. Don't look back.
Yeah.
Oh. Oscar, you want to adjourn here?
Sure. Father, we just thank You for Your words, for truly they are spirit and they are life, and they're formative, Lord.
Yes.
We're being changed from glory to glory,
yes,
into that very image and that very likeness.
Yes.
And creation is crying out and just desiring to see Jesus, and they want to see Jesus in the fullness of His body, Father. And when they see that spirit, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, beginning to manifest itself in fullness, and creation will be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. And I just ask You, Father, to help us move forward and do only that which pleases You.
Yes.
And we give You all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.